I'd like to read a verse in Jeremiah that we read in our family reading, I believe it was yesterday, struck me quite forcefully. Jeremiah 42 and verse 2. And said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let, we beseech thee, our supplications be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. Verse in Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. I would like to speak this morning on the two places where we find the Lord Jesus weeping. And perhaps some of you know what I have on my heart as we look at the chairs around us. There's a lot of empty chairs here this morning. And we're left but a few of many. But I would like to submit to you this morning, brethren, that there can be blessing for us. If those things that we read about in the second verse characterize our hearts, and surely they should at this time. Our brother this morning read a verse from Revelation chapter 3 where there were those who said, Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And we have need of the Lord Jesus this morning, don't we? You know, a few years back I was reading the National Geographic. There was an article in there on the nation of Israel. And I was very struck with what I read. There was a young woman, or rather I think she was an older woman by this time, but she had migrated to the land of Israel when she was a young woman, I believe, in the 1900s, the early 1900s. And she was telling the author of this article on Israel about the young Zionists that had encouraged them to go over to that land and what they had said to her, and they had challenged her to go out on the Sabbath day and to break the Sabbath and see if God would do anything. And so she did that. And as she was looking back over her life, this is what she said, and this is what stuck with me. She said, you know, those young Zionists, they open the world to us, but they close the heavens to us forever. I just thought about that. You know, she went over there to that land, and over there is 5 million Jews today who hold that land, but they don't hold it in reference to whose land it is. It's Jehovah's land. God gave them that land. And yet they hold it over there in their own strength, with their own hands, with their own military might, not in reference to God. But there's a day coming when they're going to learn that they cannot hold that land in that way. It cannot be held without reference to God. And what I would like just to say this morning is that we cannot walk in the truth without reference to who is the truth. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You and I, we profess, and I believe we are gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus at the Lord's table, but we cannot hold it without reference to Himself. Now, I'd just like to turn to Luke 19. There's just two instances when we find the Lord Jesus weeping. And I believe the Lord Jesus, He was a man of joy. He was a man of joy because He walked down here always to please God. Never did one thing to please Himself. And you know, that is the secret to happiness, isn't it? That is the secret to true freedom if we walk and we live our lives to please the Lord Jesus. There will be blessing for us. Thank you. And we will be happy. But we find the Lord Jesus on two occasions weeping. And this is one of them. Let's read from verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known even now, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. That last phrase is what I was thinking of. You know, the Lord Jesus was right there with those people. He walked in their midst. God's Son came down from heaven unto his own earthly people, those Jews. And we read in John chapter 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And we read, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They knew not the time of their visitation. Why, there was God manifest in the flesh, walking right in their midst. They didn't know who he was. They didn't recognize him. Well, what does that mean for you and I? Oh, brethren, the Lord Jesus, I believe, is in our midst. Do we know it? Do we value his presence? Do we know the time of our visitation? Do we recognize himself in our midst? Do we live our lives in reference to himself? We cannot hold the truth without reference to the Lord Jesus. We just can't do it. And I just wonder, you know, that question has come before me over and over again. Why? Why? Why did God allow this trouble to come amongst us? Why did God allow us to pass through this time of weeping, of sorrow? Why are there so few here? Well, perhaps we have failed to see himself in our midst. Perhaps we've failed to value his presence with us. Perhaps we valued one another and not valued himself. And what does the Lord Jesus do when he looks down upon us? Does he weep? You know, there were others just previous to this. Those ones whom Jesus had chosen. And they praised God for the mighty things that they had seen. And there were others that said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he said, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Oh, the Lord Jesus will receive glory. God will see to it that his Son is glorified. May it be from your heart and mind that praise and thanksgiving goes up to himself, not just on Lord's Day morning, but every day of the week. Do we live our lives in reference to himself? You know, there's a verse in Job that tells us, this verse was so striking to me, you need to read it in the New Translation to get the force of it, but this is the way it says. It says, if he only thought of himself and gathered unto him his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together. You ever think about that? If God for 1 minute should stop and just think about himself, we would all die. All flesh, it says. Everything would cease. Why? Because God sustains all things by the word of his power. He never thinks about himself. His thoughts are, his blessing is upon his people. His thoughts are upon his people. We spend our whole lives thinking about nothing but ourselves. We, in our old nature, we think that's how we make ourselves happy. But it isn't so. No, our lives can only be lived happily as we live them in reference to the Lord Jesus. In reference to God who has given us all things. And so I just thought about this. The Lord Jesus in that city of Jerusalem, he came unto his own. Oh, they were his people, his earthly people. He come there and manifest himself to them in the most marvelous ways. And they didn't know him. Right there in their midst, they didn't recognize God manifest in the flesh. They didn't know him. Oh, I hope that's not the case with ourselves, brethren, as we gather around himself to remember him in his death. Oh, do we recognize his presence in our midst? Are we thinking about the business transaction that we made last week? Or about what we're going to do next week? Or about this problem and that problem? Oh, we need to recognize himself. Oh, we need to enjoy his presence. Isn't that what God wants? We find that in the very beginning of the Bible. God came down to walk with Adam in the cool of the day. Oh, he wants our company. He wants our company, each one. He wants to walk with us through each day. He wants us to enjoy his presence. As we enjoy the beautiful creation that he has created here, May we do it in reference to that one who created it. He was in the world and the world was made by him. The tree that I see outside the window there, the handiwork of God, the handiwork of the Lord Jesus, his Son, was made for his pleasure, and he's given it for our pleasure too. Oh, but we need to do it in reference to himself. Thanksgiving and praise to the one who made it. We need to live each day of our lives with a sense of his presence with us. And so let's turn now to the second one in John's Gospel, where we find the Lord Jesus weeping. It's a long chapter. I think we'll just read part of it. Let's start from verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. He was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Let's go down to verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again at the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come unto the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house comforted her. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? I think we'll stop there. Let's just turn for one more verse, Isaiah 63. In verse 9, In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. You know, the verse 5 and 6 perhaps are the most enigmatic verses that we find in Scripture. It says, that's back in John chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And the sisters did not understand why. Both of them. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Why did he do that? Why did he stay 2 days still in the same place? Why did he not spare them all that pain and suffering, all that weeping, all that sorrow? Well, perhaps there's many answers that could be given to that question. And that's a question that I've asked. Why, Lord? Why do we have to pass through this time of division? Why do we have to go through all this pain and sorrow and separation? Why? Well, I don't know that I can still answer that question. But you know that verse in Isaiah 63 tells us something. It says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And I think it refers to the children of Israel passing through those 40 years in the desert. You know, the Ark of God went with them the whole 40 years. Why did they pass through that? Because they were rebellious and disobedient. Because they did not recognize His presence with them. They behaved themselves in a way that did not indicate that they knew that Jehovah was the God of Israel. And that He was able to bring them right into that land. And so they passed through a time of suffering. And God passed through it with them. Here the Lord Jesus stayed 2 days in the same place. He didn't go there and heal Lazarus. He didn't raise him up. Was it because He didn't love him? No. We have that so plain. He loved Martha and Lazarus and Mary. All three of them. He loved them. But He didn't go. But He does come, doesn't He? He comes, and what does He do? He weeps with them. And how many hearts have read that verse, shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. How many hearts have read that verse and rejoiced that the Lord Jesus abode 2 days still in the same place? He allowed Lazarus to die. What for? So He could weep with those sisters. So He could feel their sorrow. The sorrow that sin has brought into this world. Because death is a result of sin. And the Lord Jesus was without sin. And yet He felt the sorrow of those sisters. And what did He say? He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Brethren, how could any glory come to God through what we've just been through? Well, I don't know that I know the answer to that question, but I believe it's possible. To this man will I look, to him that is poor and of a contrite heart and trembleth at my word. God has something to say to us, brethren. Do we have an ear to hear it? Have we been cognizant of His presence with us, or have we been perhaps more occupied with one another, with the fellowship of our brethren and not the fellowship of the Lord Himself? Oh, I don't know, brethren. And I'm not here to cast stones and make any accusations. I'm just here to say that I believe the Lord still has blessing for each one of us. As individuals and as a company, as those gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus, oh, I believe there is still glory to be brought to God. Oh, but there's an attitude of heart that needs be on our part, that we might be of a contrite heart and trembling at His word, that we might respect this book that we have in front of us and the instructions of it, that we might be aware of His presence with us, that we may not be like those Jews that held the land but not in reference to God. And when God's Son was there in their midst, they didn't know who He was. Didn't recognize Him. And yet there they were in Jehovah's land. Right where they were supposed to be. But without reference to Jehovah at all. In all their affliction, He was afflicted. Has the Lord Jesus wept? Has He felt the sorrows that you and I have felt as we've been separated from loved ones, from family, from those that we have respected? I believe He has. I believe He's felt that suffering along with each one of us. And oh, I think He just wants to pour out His heart of blessing upon us, as He did upon this little family here in Bethany. You know, the next picture we have of this little family is a beautiful one. They sit at a table, and Martha serves. And Lazarus sits there, and Mary brings her ointment, pours it out on the head of the Lord Jesus, and the house is filled with the odor of the ointment. What a beautiful scene. Come out of this time of sorrow and suffering, and all there rejoice in the smell, the perfume of that ointment, which would speak, I'm sure, of all the loveliness of the Lord Jesus. That's what He wants for your heart and mine. He wants to fill us with Himself. The verse that comes after that one that our brother Doug Jacobson read this morning in the prayer meeting Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. Still possible, brethren. The Lord Jesus wants to enjoy our company. He wants to have fellowship with us. That's what it means, isn't it? We sat down and had breakfast together this morning. We sat around a table together, and you know, there's something very special about eating a meal with someone. It's just a special thing to have fellowship over a meal. And the Lord Jesus wants to sit down with us in every moment of our life. Waking, sleeping, school, work, home, in the assembly. He wants to share our company. He wants us to enjoy His presence. He wants us to recognize Himself as that one who is the source of all of our blessing, of every good and perfect gift, of every joy that there is to be had in this world, shall I say. There is no joy that can be had outside of God, outside of the Lord Jesus. There just isn't. This world has no happiness to offer anyone. And so we find here that the Lord Jesus weeps. He weeps as a result of what sin has brought in, but He weeps in sympathy with these two sisters. And He in His wisdom had not come. He abode 2 days in the same place. And all the sisters said, "Why, Lord?" But they come to find out, I believe in some measure, why. For the glory of God, and that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. I'd just like to read it. Another verse in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. This day is coming very soon, brethren. God's going to wipe our tears away. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. And Israel too, God Himself shall be their God. They shall be His people. And they won't hold that land anymore in reference to their own military might. They'll hold it in reference to the man who has the nail prints in his hands. The man that died on Calvary's cross, that you and I might forever be with Himself in that place where there'll be no more crying, no sorrow, no pain. No separation then, brethren. No hard thoughts. No hard words. No hard feelings. Only happiness and joy forever, and we'll have common thoughts then with God Himself. About the Lord Jesus. It's our privilege to have that today. Our privilege to have that now, I believe. God wants us to have that. But all we can look forward to a day when it will be so in truth. No separation, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. We'll be with that man who walked down here in this world and wept when he saw the sorrow that sin had brought into the world. But went to that cross to take upon Himself all of that sorrow, all of that suffering, all of that pain. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And in that day there will be no more of that which has come in to bring sorrow and pain to every creature in this world. The Lord Jesus will take it all away. Well, may we look for and long for that day, brethren. And may we know something of His presence with us as we walk down here in this world of sorrow and weeping, that there too might be that joy in our hearts as we think of Himself in all that he went through, that he might sympathize with us, and that he might share our company even now while we're still here.